This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بما علمتنا إنك سميع مجيب الدعاء. الحمد لله رب العالمين. It's a pleasure to be here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. Jazakumullah khair, everyone, for coming. I know this is very cold for Dallas, so alhamdulillah, may Allah make it easy. And may Allah make us among the grateful, having this beautiful place. It brought us all together, made us want to learn, alhamdulillah. What I want to share with you today is another chapter in the Quran. And I think every Muslim, and I'm not exaggerating, every Muslim, man or a woman, or young or not very young, needs to learn this chapter. It's called the chapter of etiquettes, Suratul Adab. This is exactly how they call it. Does anybody know? Well, it's on the flyer, so you probably figured it out. It's Suratul Hujurat, it's the compartments. If I can ask those of you, especially who read Arabic, if you can get your Quran, whether it's on your phone or, and for those of you who doesn't know Arabic very well, it will help you also to follow. It's a short surah, it's only 18 verses. But I need you to, as we are, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, going through chapters in the Quran, Ramadan is only less than 2 months, for us to get to look at the Quran in a systemic way, meaning don't just read the Quran as I see most of the time, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect me from it before anybody else. It's just you open the Quran, you flip, how much left from the surah, how much left from the juz, then you're not reading. As one of the teachers used to say, who are you rushing, who are you competing with? So when you open, and I'm going to apply it on al-hujurat, why, number one, questions for everybody, and then this, inshallah, will teach us. Number one, why it is called al-hujurat, why it's called compartments. I know all of you are going to tell me because the hujurat is in there, but there is many other things in this surah, meaning pay attention to the name of the chapter. The name of the chapter carries the message of the surah almost all the time. So that's number one. Number two, was this chapter or surah revealed in Mecca or in Medina? Who knows? Al-Hujurat, the compartments. Is it a Makki or a Madani surah? I want to hear it. One, raise your hand, anybody. I don't want to hear whispers. I want someone raise your hand, be confident, and say Bismillah. Yes. Madani surah, you should not hesitate. Again, this is my fourth time here. You're becoming like family. So I'm going to talk to you the way I talk to the ICOI. If you don't know Al-Hujurat is a Madani surah, you really need to start looking at your Quran. Because there is no doubt this is a Madani surah. Meaning, the moment you read, you know this is in Medina. So again, alhamdulillah, we didn't know, alhamdulillah, Allah made me ask the question, so we all learn. So that's number one. Second, that's why I said open your Quran. What is the surah before? What's the chapter before? And what is the chapter after? And what is the connection? By the way, the chapters in the Quran is not the way it was revealed. Meaning, before Al-Hujurat is actually Suratul Fath. Al-Fath was not revealed before Al-Hujurat. And Qaf is after the Hujurat. It was not revealed after necessarily. Are you all with me? Give you an example, all of you will learn. Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Does anyone in this room doesn't know it was the first thing was revealed to Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam? Anybody? Yes or no? I want to hear it. Alhamdulillah. Where is Iqra' in the Quran? Chapter Iqra' al-Alaq, where is it? All the way at the end. Meaning the sequences, how the chapters were put in the Quran is not the way it was revealed. Who made this sequence? What is wrong with you today? Is it too cold? What is it? Who made this sequence? Who put Al-Fatiha number one? Al-Baqarah is two, Ali Imran three, huh? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Umar, Sayyidina Umar? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was revealed, every verse in the Quran, when it was revealed, Sayyidina Jibreel told the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, put it here, put it there, put it here, put it there. And there is, as they say, it's tawqifi. Most of the scholars will tell you, this is how it is, nobody can change it. Then there is a reason. Are you all with me so far? And really, I want you, when you go home, from today till Ramadan, start as simple as with Juz'u Amma, any part in the Quran that you're very familiar with, apply the following. It will open your eyes to so many things you have not paid attention to. So what is the, every surah, there is a connection between the one before and the one after. What is the connection between Surah Al-Hujurat, the compartments, with Surah Al-Fath, the victory, or the conquer, the one before, and Qaf, the one after? I'll leave it for you at the end. Remind me if I forget. What is Surah Al-Hujurat talking about? This is how you read the Quran. So you bring it to you, and then you look, and then you read, and as you understand, even if you don't know Arabic, you know the translation, you can group the verses. This is the subject, this is a subject, this is a subject, this is a subject. Are you all with me? Bismillah. There's mainly four topics in the surah. It's all under etiquette. The etiquette of the Muslim community. Here, as we are today, how do I deal with 1, 2, 3, 4 is in Surah Al-Hujurat. The first etiquette I need to learn is the etiquette with whom? I want you to answer me. With Allah. And that's the first thing in the surah, the first verse. First verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ. Don't move forward before Allah. Move forward? Can I move forward before Allah? Yes or no? Physically, I can't. Reality? Yes or no? Of course, when I'm asking you the question, the answer is yes. Really? And how is that? You know, when you come and Allah says, do this, anything, and you say, why? I'm not convinced. And I tell you, Allah said so, you say, I'm not convinced. قَدَّمْتِ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ اللَّهِ. You moved in front of Allah. Are you arguing with Allah? You're arguing with the Creator? Now you're going to say, but I don't do it. And I say, don't answer. As you go through your day, ask yourself this. Did I answer in a way different than what Allah said in the Quran? Then I am. قَدَّمْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And so the first etiquette is with Allah. Do not. And the la, also for you, especially those who know Arabic, when you say no in English or nay, is very different from the la in the Quran. There's two kinds of la in the Quran, don't. One means don't do it, which means order, which means obligation to follow. And if you don't do it, you're disobeying Allah. The other one means it's not going to happen or it didn't happen. This one is don't do. If I do it, I'm disobeying Allah. الأمر في القرآن يفيد الوجوب. The order, when you study science of the Quran, they teach you this. The order in the Quran means it's an obligation, unless there is associated with something telling you different. Number one. And I want, honestly, everybody, and tomorrow, inshallah, with the woman, we're going to go in a much more detail, especially the page 3. But today, I just want to give you, I want you to feel more interested. Really? This is the surah that I read. I've read Allah knows how many, and I didn't pay attention. Then there is something I need to do differently. Number one, etiquette with Allah. What does it mean? Do not say or do something Allah said don't say or don't do. Period. Comes to Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Same thing. Here in his sunnah, do we do that? Do we look at something and says it's just sunnah? Yes or no? Yes, we do. I hate to say this, but we do. If we don't say it, we feel it. right? How many times, not in this masjid, I'm sure, but how many times I, don't look at anybody else. As I always remind myself, as Sayyidina Umar used to say, everybody is better than me. How many times I finish my salah, the obligatory salah, and I rush, and I don't do the two rukat after Maghrib or after Isha. Well, it's sunnah. Then I did not fulfill the right of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And he la tuqaddimu, don't, also don't argue. Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to eat with my right hand, for example? And then I'll tell you, he said so. He told the young boy, kul bi yaminak, eat with your right hand. And you say, no, I can't. Then you have done it. Are you all with me? I'm just giving you simple examples. There's way bigger and more and more. So the first order in here is the etiquette with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one word. The next four is the detail of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, the etiquette. How many of you have been in Rawda? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, right? If you have this, the second verse or the third verse, don't raise your voice. That's what he's saying here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي. Don't raise your voice above the voice of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. There's two meanings. Literally, don't raise your voice. And this is why it was revealed. Because people came, Bedouins came to Medina. They wanted him. He was resting in his room. And they said, Ya Muhammad, come out. Literally. And that's what Allah revealed. لا ترفعوا أصواتكم. Don't raise your voice. So I remember very well. The first time I was going to Rawda, I was with my teacher. And he gave us a lecture before we went. And he said, before you enter, don't raise your voice. And he said, don't shout. Look down. Remember who you are going to go and visit. The etiquettes with the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And literally, when you read the third meaning of raising your voice, please forgive me, when you say this hadith in Bukhari, who said so? What is Bukhari? You raised your voice over his voice. When someone tells you it's sunnah and you're not doing it, you know what you say? Ya Allah, please make me do it. That's it. Don't reject. Nobody is perfect here. May Allah make us better. But accept the fact that it's the sunnah. I'll do my best to do it. Allah will make it easy. So second etiquette is the etiquette with the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Now the most important thing, which is more than two-thirds of this chapter, is the etiquette of the Muslim community. And wallahi, by Allah, if we follow this surah, it's only 18. If we follow it by the letter, we will be what Allah said about us, the best nation. The etiquettes between us. How many of you, whether anywhere, come to you and says, did you hear? And you say, what? Such and such, such and such. Yes or no? Yes or no? Everybody. What is the immediate response? Really? Wow. I didn't know that. And what is Allah is saying? That's the first etiquette between the Muslim in general. إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. If someone, and by the way, if someone tells you this, don't get upset. Because this verse was revealed because of a sahabi, a companion, not you and me. When someone comes to you with a news, فتبينوا. What is تبينوا? Check it out. Make sure it's true, number one. Number two, make sure it is the way it is. Because sometimes we exaggerate, we change. We didn't hear very well. We thought it means this way. تبينوا. Why, Ya Allah? أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة. You will hurt somebody. And always when someone, and this is for everybody, when someone comes to you with the news, take a pause for a second, turn it around, and think if this was you. If someone came to you telling you something about me, how will I feel? تبينوا. Check it out. Especially these days with the social media and WhatsApp and forward, and we forward things we don't even know if it's true or not. تبينوا. And don't be part of this chain. The chain, I call it the chain of false narration. I'm going to say, did you hear? Did you hear? Don't be part of that. If it is true, still don't be part of that, because it's not a good news. And if it is false, that's even worse. So the first etiquette Allah put here, He says, when you hear something, check it out before you spread it. You may hurt somebody. Second etiquette in a community, which is beautiful, and this is, I think, verse number 5. He said, وَعْلَمُوا. And I want you all to give me your heart before your brain. And if you have it in front of you, read it. Because it's about the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Know that Rasul Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is among you. Is he among us? Is he among us? Yes or no? Of course. How did we end up here? How did we just pray Isha? How did we just pray 2 ruka'at? Almost everybody. He's with us. Physically, he's not with us. But he should be with us all the time. Of course, when this was revealed, he was with them. If he would have followed our desires, لو يطيعكم في بعض الأمر لعنتم, your life will be very difficult. What do we learn? The sunnah came to make my life and yours easier and better. لو كانوا يعلمون, if they only know. But we don't. And then Allah reminds all of us of the favor. It applies here. I love it when I do it in a masjid, because it so much reminds me. حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. It's the grace of Allah that everybody is in this room now. It's not me or you or the masjid or this or that. It's Allah made us love this deen. There is how many Muslims in the Dallas Fort Worth area? Let's say in Valley Ranch. I don't know. But I'm sure it's way more than this. This is a beautiful number, but I'm sure there's way more. Why you are here? Don't tell me because I saw and I came and I made a plan. Then you missed it. He brought you. For some reason, Allah brought you. Not because you are so special, please forgive me. Or I am special, أعوذ بالله. حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمْ. That's what he is saying. He made you love this. Allah, it's a grace of Allah. He made me love to come to the masjid. He made me love to listen, read the Quran, learn. وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعَصْيَانِ. And he made you, Allah, reject, hate, dislike, kufr, والفسوق والعصيان. Disbelief, fusuq, immorality, and disobedience. We are here obeying Allah. This is something pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because Allah made it happen and brought you. Etiquettes of the Muslim. And every verse quickly I'm going through is reminds you that this is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The etiquette of the Muslim community. Whatever ni'mah, blessing Allah gives you, don't say I did it. It's very opposite the time we're living in. Especially for the youth. I did it. It's me. It is not you. So Allah made you. Allah made me. I'm not speaking. Allah is making me speak. And if we know that, then we will give Allah the etiquette he deserves, subhanah. Then he comes, and again, I'm doing it very quickly for the sake of the time. Then he comes into what happens if the two groups disagree. وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا. Two groups of the believers. Here, they fought each other. Fought each other, not necessarily fighting. We disagree. And is that common? Way more common than we agree. What should we do? فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. We should not take sides right away. We should always listen to the other side. Even if it is your daughter, even if it's your husband, even if it is your wife, even if it's your children. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. And then Allah says, and if you need to judge, judge with justice, which is the hardest thing. If your son is fighting with the son of the neighbor, and this is for all the parents here, and the son, your son comes and says, he hit me. Immediately, what do you do? Immediately, what do you do as a parent? You believe your son, and you say, and what did you do? I did nothing. No, you should have hit him back. That's not the etiquette of the Muslim ummah. Number one, check it out. And number two, أَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. You bring that neighbor's son and you figure out what happened. This is, if we, again, I told you from the beginning, if we apply this, we will be the best ummah. But we normally react and overreact and we follow our feelings, and this is my child, this is my brother, this is my neighbor, and we go by. And this is why later on Allah puts an important rule, who is best in this world. And I'm going to come to it after all this. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to the most important three verses. To me, the most three verses. And everybody in this room, especially the youth, suffer from not applying this rule. What is the biggest problem in schools? If I ask the youth in front of me, the boys, what is the number one problem? For you as an individual, as a young Muslim, mashallah, let's assume, even if you're in Islamic school, but let's assume you're not in an Islamic school, what is number one? I want to hear it. Somebody said it. I'm sorry? It's bullying. True or false? Bullying, the way you look, your name, if you have an accent, even if you have none of this, they will find something to bully you. True or false? Making fun of you. Right? Oh, she's like that, he's like that, he's this, he's tall, he's short, she is, true or false? That's exactly what Allah says. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. And all the calling in this surah, except one verse, is O believers. And when Allah says, O believers, literally give it your hear well. Don't take it lightly. Because when your creator and my says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, meaning what he's going to tell me and you is extremely important. And these are the orders. It's orders, is not a choice. Are you all with me? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, all you believe, all believers. Number one, لا يسخر قوم من قوم. Don't you make fun of each other. And I want the youth to listen to me before the adult. And don't tell me I'm joking. Because Allah did not say, unless you are joking. Categorically, لا يسخر قوم من قوم. May Allah forgive us all. If I am from this country and you are not, you're going to make fun of me, or I will make fun of you. If I am in this color, or this part of the world, or this part, or this state, or this college, or this school, don't make fun of each other. You know why? Because Allah put the reason. They may be better than you. عَسَىٰ أَيَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. They could be better than you. And this is one of the few times in the Quran where Allah separated the gender. وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ. Specifically, and not a woman from a woman. عَسَىٰ أَيَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنَّ. She may be better than you. She doesn't carry a purse that is cost whatever. In the sight of Allah, she could be way better than me and you. He does not drive this car or that car, or he lives in this neighborhood or that neighborhood. The material scale, we put people, am I correct? They could be way better than me on the Day of Judgment. I could be waiting in line to answer Allah, and they're way ahead and in. Number one, don't make fun of each other. When you don't do it, it's an act of worship. I want you all to remember. It's like you prayed now because you obeyed Allah. You can easily do it. You can easily answer. You can easily make fun. You have an amazing joke, but you said, it's not pleasing to Allah. I'm not going to do it. That's an act of worship. It's not because you're polite or because your parents raised you up very well or it doesn't befit me. It's because Allah said, don't do it. Number one, don't make fun of each other. لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى يكونوا خيرا منهم. They may be better. ولا نساء من نساء عسى يكون خيرا منهم. Now comes the three other orders. ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب. بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان. ومن لم يتب فأولئك هم الظالمون. Do not look at this one. Sometimes we don't say anything, but we give the look. Are you with me? You all? We give the look. And what does the look mean? One look at the other about a third person. You're actually making fun of them, but you're not saying a word. That's what Allah said. وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Woe to everyone who hammazin. Hammaz meaning with the eye, and lumaza either by the word or by the body language. Don't do that. Don't come to the masjid, let alone anywhere else, and you look at her and says, oh, I'm not going to pray next to her. Oh, I'm not going to come close to him. Don't do that. And then, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Don't say, don't you know who I am? I come from this family. Especially if you are from the same country. And you say, oh, I come from this spot. To make sure you tell that person, I am. And Allah specifically saying, do not use your surname or the family you come from. Basically, you're showing people you're better than them. This is all what Allah is saying. So if you apply it on our daily life these days, maybe there isn't many families because here, not like back home, but don't say my dad is. Oh, do you know what car my dad drives? Oh, do you know what they gave me a gift in, whatever? This is all showing off and putting people down. And that's what Allah says, don't do it. Don't. And then comes to the next two more most important. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم. Believers, again, do not think ill of each other. Oh, I know why he said this. I know why he didn't say salam to me. Oh, I know why she didn't invite me. How do you know? اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. Stay away from a lot of suspicion. Don't think ill. See how you all are thinking? If you are in my chair and I'm looking at everybody's face, everyone is thinking. And how many times you've read this chapter? Don't think ill of people. You don't know. You don't know why she didn't say salam to you. Could be as simple as she didn't see you. Could be he didn't invite you or she didn't invite. Could be she had very limited numbers and she has a big fan. Whatever, find an excuse. اجتنبوا, stay away, is the same word. Okay, let me ask you this question. If I tell you, what is the ruling of drinking alcohol in Islam, what are you going to tell me? I want to hear it. Right? What did Allah say in the Quran about the alcohol? اجتنبوا. Same word. Stay away from it. And that's exactly the same word he's using about thinking ill of each other. And sometimes we not even only think ill of each other, but the people of knowledge, the older people, the imams, the scholars, and don't do it. اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم. It's a sin when you think ill of somebody. When it comes to your mind, brush it, move it. As the Rasul عليه الصلاة والسلام said, إذا ظننت فلا تحقق. If you are thinking ill of somebody, don't spy. Don't take it to the next step. Next, don't. Are you ready? Can I ask you a question before I say it? How many of you check the phone of someone else in the house? Everybody is quiet. Don't ask us, basically, right? Well, that's what he said, don't do it. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Do not spy on each other. even if it is your children. Yes, all the scholars agreed, unless when you buy them, and this is what I want to, so the parents will feel better. When you buy a phone to your children, and I know you're concerned because you're worried when you're, like for the youth, when your dad or mom check your phone, they're worried about you because there's a lot of things that may harm you. Then when you buy them the phone, you make this agreement with them that I will have the permission from you to check your phone. Then you're not spying. That's it. But if you didn't do it, and now you're going to go, let alone brothers, sisters, spouses, and now you're going to go and guess the password or keep trying till you get in, that's spying. And this is literally haram. Because Allah says, la, don't. Don't spy on each other, let alone your neighbors, let alone somebody else. Don't. ولا تجسسوا. Are you all with me now? Now comes to the... Can I ask you a question or leave it? I think I'll leave it because I don't want to know the answer. How many of us, and I said us, have backbite somebody else? Raise your hands, everybody. We all have done it. Right? And Allah says, wala, don't. Same, la, 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 la. يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Do not backbite each other. And I'm going to come because I want to spend time on this. And Allah didn't say the punishment, which is very interesting. He didn't say what's going to happen to me. But you know what he said? He gave a parable. The parable is, do you like to eat the flesh of your dead brother? Do you like to do that? Do you like to do that? No answer. فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Immediately Allah answered, you hated it. Rasul was coming back from a funeral. And two, now again, companions were behind him, talking something ill about the person who they just buried. And Rasul heard them. He didn't say anything. As they were walking, there was a dead animal on the right. Are you all with me? He said to them, turned back to them and says, go and eat from it. They said, Ya Rasulallah. You know what he said? You already did it. You already did it. Anything, and don't tell me it's true, because I know what's in your mind now. If it's true, it's backbiting. If it is not true, it's slander. You know what's slander? In Islamic law, slander, the punishment is public. 80 lashes. And you never accept them as witness, and they are regarded as fasiq. It's in Surah An-Nur, chapter of the light. So when you say things about people, and what is backbiting? Do you want me to give you the definition? Yes or no? Bismillah. This is what it is. ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ إِذَا بَلَغَهُ. Mentioning your brother or sister with something he or she doesn't like, if they hear it. You mention something about a brother or a sister negatively in their absence that they don't like if they hear it. That's backbiting. And Allah says, don't do it. I want you all to take a pause for a second and think of a community. And by the way, this is all over the world. It's not only in here or there. A community. No one backbite anybody. No one think ill of anybody. No one make fun of anyone. Let alone they bully them. No one, but if two are fighting, he or she comes in and solve the problem. What kind of community is this? That's how they lived, the Sahaba. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after all these don't, he comes and says, this is the only time he said, Ya Yuhannas, people in general. Now he's going to put what is the best word? He is going to put the standard of who's better than the other. Whether you're a hafiz of the Quran, whether you are a physician, whether you're a multi-millionaire, whether you come from this family, whether you're the most beautiful, it doesn't matter. We created you from, you all know this verse. We created you from man and a woman. خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل. Look at everybody in this room. Everyone is different. And we have made you nations and tribes. Why? To make fun of each other. To bully each other. No. To know each other. Do we do that? We come to the masjid. How many times the person next to you don't know who is she or he, and then you say, oh, assalamu alaikum, are you new? No. But if there's somebody I know, and then he put this standard, inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum, the most honorable among you in the sight of Allah, not in my sight or yours, is the one who is Allah conscious. Meaning, summary, if I am the person who applied all the rules I shared with you quickly, I never put Allah before anything. I don't argue or put Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam behind my opinion. I don't think ill of people. I don't believe anything right away everybody tells me. I am always a key of goodness between people. I don't make fun of anyone. I do not even indirectly make fun of anyone. I don't spy. I don't think ill, and I don't backbite. Then I am the best person. That's why he said, atqakum, meaning Allah conscious. What makes me hold my tongue and I'm so upset with that person and he or she is not there? What makes me hold my tongue, especially in a time where everyone backbite because I'm Allah conscious? And then Allah comes, the end is, قالت الأعراب آمنا, and Allah gives you the definition of faith. Faith is when you believe in Allah and the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam and you don't doubt anything. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Verily, this is the last verses in the surah. And you know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala end the surah. And then I'm going to connect you with the beginning and the end. The end of the surah, of any chapter in the Quran, is actually a summary, the final message, take home, as we say, take home message. You know what's the take-home message in Surah Al-Hujurat? Anybody? إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَالِمُ غَيْبِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah knows all the unseen in the heavens and the earth. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And Allah is seeing everything you do, everything you're doing. Are you all with me? Everything he was saying, don't do, don't do, don't do, don't do, up to you. But Allah is seeing it. And Allah knows it. And Allah also knows, if you didn't do it, why did you not do it? The reason it is following Surah Al-Fath, if you see the last verse of Surah Al-Fath, Muhammadun Rasulullah, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is the messenger of Allah, and Allah describes the companions, and then he says, the last part of this verse, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Those who believe and do good deeds, he will forgive and a great reward. And all the good deeds are described. Qaf. You're not going to do any of this? Everybody is doing it. This is too difficult. I don't want to do it. Up to you. Qaf. And what's Qaf talks about? Death and dying. ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدُ وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. The moment of death came in. With the truth, this is what you are running away from. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us, ya Rabbi, ameen, myself number one before anyone. Teach us what is beneficial and more importantly, help us to practice. I don't think anything I said in the last almost 45 minutes that anyone in this room didn't know. We just need a reminder and we need the strength to practice and we need to help each other. We need to learn when someone is backbiting, say, please, let's not do that. This is backbiting. This is not pleasing to Allah. At least inside the masjid or inside our homes. Not like, really? Oh, and then you help. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all our shortcomings. Ya Rabbi, Ameen. Jazakum Allahu khayran. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi tasliman kathira. Jazakum Allah khair. You were amazing. Subhanallah. You really listened. And none of the kids were a distraction. Subhanallah. Any questions? Anybody? Yes, please. Go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
This is on the subject of backbiting.
I knew it.
Would it be considered
backbiting? Tomorrow is all about backbiting, don't worry.
Yes. Would it be considered backbiting if you're in a group and people are talking like extensively about somebody else's life, not in a bad way, but just like talking about...
That's called vain talk. For example, she traveled or he traveled, they got a new job. As long as there is no negative, it's basically you're not backbiting, but that's vain talk. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Successful the believer. فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ They are in خُشُوع during وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ One of the definitions of لغو is vain talk. Just talk that's going to get me nowhere. But it is negative talk is backbiting. Yes, please. Wa alaikum salam. If someone wronged me, and you are hurt, and you want to vent,
not in public, but to like maybe your mother or maybe a sister,
backbiting,
just to like get some advice,
backbiting,
still backbiting,
unless you didn't say the name. If you come to for an advice, yeah, which is very common, you know what? Somebody at work did this to me. What do you think I should do? That's not backbiting. You did not specify. But if you're going to come and say, my husband did one and two and three and four and five, with all my apology, it's backbiting. Or you go and say, my wife did one, two, three, four, it's backbiting. There's no exception, very few, and I'm not going to give you the exceptions, because everybody is going to hold to the exceptions. Yes. Any of the brothers? Yes, please. The young man behind you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
A bunch of people.
How old are you first?
14.
14. MashaAllah. And you stayed listening to this. You made me happy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Yes, so, go.
Some people have said that you're allowed to backbite when the person in question is someone in power. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, I don't think I understood you.
Some people have said that if you're backbiting about someone in power, it doesn't count. Is that true?
It does count. Even leaders, it's the same definition. The only time it is not backbiting, now everybody's going to hold to this because that's if the person is doing something publicly. For example, they're on the TV, said something, and that something is negative. And you said, you know what? That's what they said on the TV because public, al-mujahar bil-ma'asiyah, this is not. But most of the time is we go on and on and on. On and on is backbiting. When you start adding your opinion, and the best way is, as I always say it, zip it. The best way to stay safe. Sayyidina Umar said, من كثر كلامه كثر خطأه ومن كثر خطأه كثر سقطه. Whomsoever speaks too much will make mistakes, and who the person who makes a lot of mistakes will lose the respect. Anybody in the back? Ladies.
Ladies in the back? No?
Yes, okay.
Let me phrase my question.
Yes.
So you said that we cannot say anything about anyone at all.
At all.
But one needs therapy sometimes. And your niyyah is not to hurt or say things, but you just, you know, you need
some therapy
because okay. If you didn't, you're going to go
it's
insane.
It's a beautiful community, so you don't say anything unless it's therapy. It's okay. Therapy,
one,
you do.
One can go crazy if they don't get therapy.
Because one of the allowed ones is when you go and complain about injustice that happened against you. It's one of the ones that's allowed. Or in case of marriage, or in case of recommendation. for somebody, for example, you have a handyman coming to work in your home, and he worked in my home. So you pick up the phone and me and says, how was the job? Well, he didn't do a good job. I have to tell you, but I have to say it in a nice way. I'll give you two examples. One recent, and I was there, a woman came to the sheikh asking him about somebody he knows very well for marriage. So the sheikh wanted to tell her it's not a good idea. Right? What did he say? Now, the answer to yours and to you. He said he comes from a country that is well known that they have temper. What did he just told her? He has a temper. But he did it indirectly. Are you with me? A man divorced his wife, right? And they came to ask him, why did you divorce? He said, I do not talk about something in the past. They came to him and said, your ex-wife married somebody else. He said, I don't talk about the wife of other people. Are you with me? Yeah, you all are silent. I love it. Alhamdulillah, I'm doing this surah. Honestly, wallahi, we can do it. It's just because it is, everyone is doing it. What are we going to talk about? I didn't mean it. It's true, and we justify it. But if we really start paying attention, that we're going to be asked about these words. As Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam said to Sayyidina Mu'adh, ثَكَلَتْكُ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَاذ, may your mother mourn you. What else will put people in the hellfire but the harvest of their tongue? SubhanAllah. We have to stop, right?
No, we have one more question.
One more question. I don't know. There's somebody, a young person at the end. I don't know. They really have a question or they're just raising their hand. I don't know.
We're back there?
Is there somebody from the... Yeah, let's take from the men's side.
Over there.
Yes,
over
please.
There. She wants over
there. No, there is a brother. There's, yeah. He was before and then we'll go to you. Don't worry.
I had two specific questions.
Yes.
One on slandering and the other on backbiting.
Okay.
In terms of slandering, if a person slanders you, and like, what do you recommend should be done? Especially if they have like mental illnesses like narcissism, should we, you know, have sabr or should we take gestures for that? And if a person comes and asks you about that situation, what should your response be?
So someone slander you, yeah, publicly.
Yes.
Publicly.
Yes.
What do you do? Alhamdulillah, we live in a country that there is laws. So first, before you go to that far, you go and reach to the people who knows that person, right? That's why the Muslim community, you reach to the imam, you reach to a friend, and you say, this is what I heard. Please just tell them, stop it, wa'afa Allah amma salaf, I'm not gonna do anything. Just let's not go there. Let's not talk about this. No, it's continued. There is rules here in this country. You know that. You don't want to go that far, but if it's continuing, especially if it is hurting you, whether hurting you at work, hurting you in your reputation, yes, you have to take it. But don't go that far. But don't answer and start, oh, let them see themselves. Then you are the same. You don't want to be the same as the other person. That's why Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam said, Al-qatil wal-maqtul fi an-nar. He said, the two people who are trying to kill each other, both are in the hellfire. One killed the other. Both are in the hellfire. Said, Ya Rasulullah, one was killed. So the killer, okay. But why the other person in the hellfire? He said, because if he didn't kill him, he would have killed him. So I will not respond the same way, because then I'm the same. But I'm going to try what I want. I want them to stop saying this. So you're going to reach to people to stop. They didn't, then you take the legal actions if it's really hurting you, or just... عَفَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا سَلَفْ, just forgive and pardon. It depends how much harm is there.
Also, the second backbiting was that there's an opinion I've heard that if it's someone who's not Muslim, you're allowed because it says أَفِي.
It's the same. It's the same. I'm glad you asked this because I forgot to say this. Because he didn't say only the Muslims. It's the same. How do you feel if a non-Muslim backbited you? Hurt. Same thing. We need to really elevate. Yani, the Muslim Ummah, subhanAllah, as I was reading one of the commentaries about this before I came, and he was describing if this Ummah applied to the letter this surah, it will be the ideal society. SubhanAllah. Yes, the young man and the last one. Yes.
Earlier in your talk, you said that you were talking about the order of which Surah Hujurat was. And you said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet how the order was. But wasn't the Quran compiled after his death?
No. I'm glad you asked this. The Quran was compiled at the time of Rasul alayhi salam. There's a difference between compiled and written and then made the Quran that we know, right? This one is at the time of Sayyidina Uthman. That's why it's called the Mus'haf al-Uthmani, this one, right? But at the time of Rasul alayhi salam, it was compiled. It was this one, this one, this one, this one. And then at the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, he made it between the daffatain. He made it with two. And it stayed with whom? Stayed with whom? I didn't hear it. Somebody said it in the back. One of the wives of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, she kept it with her. Who was it? Sayyida Hafsa, the daughter of Sayyidina Umar. Till Sayyidina Abu Bakr came in, when the Muslim Ummah became big everywhere, they came to him and says, people are reading it differently, now different languages, like see how we are, and we are worried it's going to change. So he called five of the Kuttabul Wahi, those who really they were writing as a Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, and he said, send to Hafsa and take permission from her to give it to me so they can write exactly what's in this one and I'll bring it back to her. So he did five of them, and the five of them then went to different parts of the world, and that's how we ended up with this. Right? جزاكم الله خيرا. May Allah reward you all. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه تسليما كثيرا.